I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that Friday is not the end of the story, but Sunday happened. God, I pray today as I speak that somehow you might speak through me, that you would give us ears to hear what you want to hear, that our minds would be open to understanding. Holy Spirit, do what you do, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, I grew up in a time of good television. Some of you are going to be surprised by this. There was television that happened back in the day that you had to watch when it came on. Like, you had to be home, or you had to use a VCR. Kids, if you don't know what that is, please ask your parents. It was a terrible way to record things, that you'd run out of space on your tape, right? Or you'd set the time wrong, or the power would go out and it wouldn't record, and you'd miss your favorite show, and you had to wait years to see it again, right? Years. Reruns. If you missed an episode, that was it. But I will tell you, of all television, I made sure that I was home on Friday evenings for TGIF. Anybody else? TGIF. Some of you kids are like, what the heck is that? Well, TGIF, we had Urkel. Y'all remember? Oh, yeah. We had the Tanner family. Oh, some of you are like, yeah, we've seen that in syndication, right? We had the dinosaurs, not the mama. We had the Matthews family, Boy Meets World. Y'all, that's when TV was good, right? TV, you had to watch it when it came on. I loved Friday night. It was so good. Why in the world am I talking about TGIF on Easter? You're like, Tim, I thought this was an Easter message. See, friends, I see it all the time, still on social media. It's Thursday, and people are like, thank God tomorrow's Friday, right? You get to the end of your week, and you're like, I can't wait until Friday. If we can just get to Friday, TGIF, it still holds on. There were people in the first century who didn't think Friday was a good day. There were people who thought, oh my goodness, it's over. Jesus is done. This thing that we followed forever and ever, it's really, really bad. And my wife and I had this disagreement this week. She said, Tim, you're going to struggle with this message because people love Friday. Nobody likes Sunday, she said. I'm like, we have church on Sunday. She's like, yeah, but Sunday means you got to go back to work on Monday. That's why people love Friday. And I said, isn't it a sad reality that we celebrate that something's done instead of getting excited that we get to do something new? Isn't that a sad reality that we're so excited about Friday because we're dead from the week instead of being excited that Sunday comes and we get to do something new? That we get hope for a new week. I want to take you to Luke 24 today, and it's a lot of verses. I'm going to go quickly, I promise, but I want to take you to Luke 24 and give you a story that happens just after the resurrection of Jesus. It says, on that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. But they were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago. But there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him, Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead, but they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took a seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. It's a long story, but it's an important story. It's a moment that changed people's lives, a moment that transformed their lives. They were people who had followed Jesus for 3 years. They gave up everything. They dropped all they had because they were sure that he was the one. They were sure that he was the one that was going to change the world. They were sure that he was the one that transformed the world, but things got rough. In fact, in the passage, it says, "We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel." They had forgotten everything that Jesus said. "We had hoped that he was the one, but he wasn't. We had hoped, but he died. We had hoped, but things didn't go the way that we had planned." There's a pastor years and years ago who preached a famous Easter message. It was a Baptist pastor in California named S.M. Lockridge. He offered this phrase that was so powerful that it's really stuck with me for years and years and years. The phrase was this. He said, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Say it with me. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Right? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Hey, just the kids. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. That's right. That's exactly right. Think about it for a second. Friends, the phrase "we had hoped" focuses on Friday. The phrase "we had hoped" is defeated. The phrase "we had hoped" means there's not really a lot of hope. It pretends like we live in a world of Fridays, and it's easy to live in a world of Fridays. It's easy to look at our world right now, friends, and say it's all just too hard. Right? Maybe you haven't said exactly like that because a lot of us like Fridays. But the truth is, we can find ourselves in a place where there is no hope. We can find ourselves in a place where we just say, "It's Friday. That's the end of the story. There's nothing more for me. There's nothing more that can come." When we say "It's Friday," it means we have very little hope. When we say "It's Friday," it means we have disappointment and we're letting that set in. Sometimes when we say "It's Friday," it comes with shame, it comes with guilt. We say, "That's the end of our story." I wonder how much of our lives we live in that place. Completely demoralized, completely without thinking that Sunday's coming, completely going, "It's just too hard. Things are just too tough." Now, I get the disciples. I get these folks in this place. Right, they had given everything they were to Jesus. They had dropped everything, and they were now in hiding because people were after them to hurt them, to take their lives. They were in danger. They sat around in a hidden room contemplating their future. What were they going to do next? And even though they had sat with the Son of God, literally with Jesus, literally hanging out with him, him telling them all these things about eternity, saying to them, "This is not going to be the end of the story," they still didn't get it. I find myself a lot like them, actually. I find myself going, "I know the end of the story, and still I act like it's not true. I know there's hope coming, and still I live in Fridays." However, here's the truth, friends. The story didn't end on Friday. You know why? It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. That's exactly right, friends. Sunday is coming. We are Sunday people. And I'm not just talking about worship on Sunday. For goodness sakes, we're Sunday people because Sunday brings us hope. Because Sunday means there's more to the story. Sunday absolutely transformed everything. The resurrection of Jesus Christ obliterated Friday. It said Friday can no longer have the power it once did over us. Friday is not the end of the story. The resurrection is real, friends. I actually believe in that. I actually believe that Jesus really did die. I actually believe that the resurrection happened. I actually believe it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. Y'all almost forgot, didn't you? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Earlier, I read that scripture where it was clear that Jesus had died. It was clear that they were fearful, but it was also clear to them that the resurrection had happened. In this final chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we have these two disciples, Cleopas and one unnamed. And Jesus is walking with them from Jerusalem to Emmaus, another small town, on the day that Jesus had risen from the dead. And as they traveled, he comes and they don't know who it is. They don't know that it is Jesus with them. And here's the part where it comes and it says, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" The two disciples were stunned. They couldn't believe that there was a person still around that hadn't heard about Jesus. They couldn't fathom that there was anybody who hadn't heard about what happened. So then Jesus tells the story. They get all through it, and he says, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. When they arrived that evening, they were in the place. They invited him to have dinner. He sat with them. And they took something, and look, we're not getting to communion quite yet. Don't get so excited, right? But they took something Jesus did that would have been so powerful to them. He took that thing from the Last Supper, how they would have done Passover together. And he raised it up and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And it was in that moment that they went, "Oh, you are Jesus." Their eyes were opened. It wasn't the end of the story. It was a powerful moment of transformation for them. It was a moment where they said, "Oh my word. Sunday's coming." Everything changed for them. He had risen. Friends, Easter Sunday should not be just another nice day. It should be a day where we're reminded that everything changes. We should go out into our world as people who have changed. Look, it's one thing, friends, to walk through a challenging situation. So many of us have that. So many of us go through really difficult times, but it's another thing to walk through that without hope. And I got to tell you, if I have to do life without hope, I don't want to do it. The message of Jesus, the message of the resurrection is a message of hope. It's a message that Friday's not the end of the story. In January of last year, the National Institute of Health issued issued a paper to all of their folks, their doctors, nurses, all of that. And the paper was entitled, "Giving Hope as a High Reliability Function of Healthcare." I found that fascinating. What they were saying was, we want hope to be part of what you offer everyone. Because what research showed was that people who walk through healing with hope actually heal better. Doctors who offer hope to people actually perform their work better. Nurses who walk alongside people with hope actually believe that what they're doing might actually heal somebody. So they said, we're going to be people of hope. Carry the hope through with your patience. It said, we believe that the reliability offering hope should be one of the goals of the therapeutic relationship between clinician and patient. Establishing hope as a target outcome creates opportunities for both patients and clinicians to find meanings in their journeys. For goodness sakes, friends, if NIH can do it, the church can do it. Right? We can offer hope to the world. We can carry hope to people. Because hope leads to healing. Hope leads to a future. Hope leads to something beyond this moment. Hope says there's possibility. The disciples, with all that they already knew, didn't have an expectation of the future that they received. They knew the whole story. Their eyes were not open, but we have the opportunity this very morning, friends, to have our eyes opened. We have the opportunity today to say, it's Friday. Oh, come on. You're number one. You get an extra donut on your way out, okay? We have an opportunity to say, it's Friday. That's right, people. We have an opportunity to be people that believe that Friday's not the end of the story. And for goodness sakes, our world needs hope right now. For goodness sakes, we need to carry that hope out into the world. For goodness sakes, we walk through so many things. And we today are people of choice. We can choose to be It's Friday people, or we or we can choose to be. That's exactly right. Y'all, seriously, if you walk away with nothing else today but to believe that the resurrection brought Sunday, and the resurrection brought hope, I'm great with that. Carry that hope out into the world. I want to offer you a word of hope this morning and say, maybe we should start something new. Maybe we should stop being TGIF people. Maybe we should become TGFS people. Thank God for Sunday. Thank God for Sunday. So all y'all that's going to post TGIF next Friday on your Facebook, I'm going to see it. And I'm going to write, thank God for Sunday, because it was Sunday that changed the world. Amen? Amen.